Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, that it impacts on our lives, and as we deal with these difficult topics, just enable us to understand what you want for us, what our attitudes should be. Just help us to work through it in grace. Jesus' name, amen. Mental health is something many struggle with. Recently, numerous sportsmen and women have admitted troubles. From AFL, both Gary Lyon and Dusty Martin have admitted to struggles with anxiety and depression. People who have been at the top of the game. Dusty Martin, well, he was still at the top of the game. In cricket, Graham Thorpe, one of England's greatest batsmen, recently committed suicide despite having a loving family because of anxiety and depression. In swimming, Jade Edison, a three-time world champion and world record holder in breaststroke, tried to commit suicide, struggling with depression. And it's not just sportsmen. In business, James Packer took a step back from his businesses because of anxiety and depression. In the film industry, Emilia Clarke of Game of Thrones and Transformers fame banned selfies after suffering panic attacks after a particularly traumatic time at an airport. Interestingly, she will still do autographs, as she says, they build relationship. Selena Gomez, the singer and television actor who has struggled with lupus, also struggles with mental health. She said in 2018, I've had a lot of issues with depression and anxiety, and I've been very vocal about it, but it's not something I feel I'll ever overcome. She went on, I think it's a battle I'm going to have to face for the rest of my life. Selena Gomez has sought treatment, is on medicine, and has produced a film about it to help those struggling with mental health, called My Mind and Me. And even those who are held out as great examples of Christians struggle. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, who preached to around 10 million people, said, I have suffered many times from severe sickness and frightful mental depression, seeking almost to despair. Almost every year I've been laid aside for a season, for flesh and blood cannot bear the strain, at least such flesh and blood as mine. Even for Spurgeon, depression was a constant opponent. Now, there's many complex issues around mental health. It's something we can struggle with. And there are not easy answers, even for Christians focused on serving Jesus. Yet, in the passage today, Paul suggests a clear focus for believers in Jesus that should help us as we deal with such problems. Paul's dealing with the practical outworkings in their daily lives of being centered around Jesus and the hope and salvation that he brings. He's previously told the Philippians that they should live to gain Jesus and all he's got to offer, to live as citizens of heaven, eagerly awaiting their Saviour's return, Jesus' return. And he finishes this part of the letter before dealing with personal matters by switching to talking about everyday living now. 4 verse 1, he says, "Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." All that's been said about Jesus, centering their lives around him, is how we should stand firm in him. Paul speaks of his longing for them, how he takes joy in them living for Jesus, while saying Jesus being central to their lives enables them to stand firm in him. And then he goes on to apply this in 2 particular areas. The first is church unity. Jesus himself said to be known by our love for one another. Yet, let's be honest, many of us have seen arguments between Christians that destroy unity. People destroy unity because they're interested in themselves, and this affects churches. When elders are not unified around Jesus, the disunity causes issues for the church. Here, 2 women who Paul's worked with to spread the gospel are disagreeing to an extent that's simply not acceptable. When Paul first came to Philippi, it was a group of women at the river, at a prayer meeting there, that are first recorded as responding to the gospel. A purple cloth dealer named Lydia invited Paul to stay with her, as all her household became Christian. And 2 of the women Paul came to know and work with to spread the good news, Euodia and Syntyche, are not getting on. This may be out of pride or seeking honour, but for Paul, this causes real pain. He's worked with both of them and wants them not just to individually have Jesus, but to share it together, to share what's important together, to be of the same mind as Christ, and to realize that their shared faith is far more important than the things they disagree on. Further, Paul appeals for someone to help them. It's not for them to alone to sort it, but he wants someone to help them to do so. It's not clear from the letter who he means and why he does not name them. Some names have been thrown out there. Perhaps Luke, the doctor who wrote the Gospel of Luke and Acts, who joined Paul at Philippi. Clement is another possibility, who he names immediately afterwards. But it's clear that the person themselves will know, and that's what's key, as the 2 ladies, along with Clement and others, are saved. And as Paul puts it, have their names in the book of life. The certainty of being with Jesus in his kingdom. They share salvation through Jesus and should celebrate it together. And that should be central to our lives, to our church's life. Unity around Jesus is key. We must celebrate together, sharing joy in each other's faith, encouraging each other. Then we're being built together as a dwelling place for God. Yet to do that, personal honour and pride needs setting aside as we seek to live for Jesus, live for those around us. Healing and forgiveness in relationships takes effort. It means acknowledging that Jesus has forgiven us, accepting others with their failings, but particularly inside the gathering of God's people, it is a must. Unity's not an optional extra, but an absolute must that we all need to work together for. This is the first and the easiest of the issues that Paul seeks to get the Philippians, and particularly the two ladies, to work through. The second element that he speaks of is attitudes, how we handle things that we find difficult to deal with. And in doing this, he speaks about things that are often connected with mental health today. Now let's be clear with mental health. There are reasons people struggle. For instance, with depression, this is generally caused when the body is not producing enough neurotransmitters. Medication and other treatments can really help. There are lots of complicated issues here. I've got many friends who are Christian, who struggle with mental health issues, who seek psychiatrists, psychologists, and take medicine that really helps them. I've also had some friends who eventually have come off drugs successfully. Normally something you should work through carefully with a doctor, but they've come off by a variety of means. I've got another friend who constantly tries to do so, yet it's disastrous and always leads to issues where he's sometimes even landed in hospital. Medicine for this type of thing can be really necessary. However, there are things Christians can and should do when responding to troubles and areas where they struggle. And they all have to do with their relationship with God. And the first thing that Paul says is difficult when life's hard and you're struggling. Verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now let's be clear. There's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is in the moment, in the now. Joy holds to the greater relationship that Jesus offers. So if we have that relationship, if we know Jesus, we can be miserable about worldly matters, but hold to the hope he offers and know his presence, looking forward to what Jesus brings, knowing that whatever the world thinks, that we have value in God's eyes as his son or his daughter. C.S. Lewis wrote a book telling the story of his conversion, of how he wanted joy in life, and how he sought it, looked for it everywhere, until eventually he turned to God and became a Christian. He describes this as, in the Trinity term of 1929, I gave in and admitted God was God and knelt and prayed. Perhaps that night, the most dejected and reluctant convert in all England. C.S. Lewis came to God despite not wanting to. And yet in doing that, He'd found what had been seeking everywhere else. He found joy. The title of the book this quote is taken from is Surprised by Joy. And in the very last chapter, C.S. Lewis describes how suddenly joy was no longer an issue for him. He'd found God. He was enjoying relationship. Speaking to God constantly about his issues, his problems. Now, rejoicing and enjoying our relationship with God's not always easy. We heard of Spurgeon's troubles with depression earlier. And so here we find a more detailed description of what rejoicing in the Lord means. Firstly, in verse 5, it says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." When C.S. Lewis became a Christian, he did not stop praying, asking God for help, knowing his presence. He was acknowledging what is said here, that the Lord is near. Yet, do we live in relationship with others out of that? Do we express that in our relationships? Would we respond in the same way to others if we know that God's presence with us? And how do we be gentle? Because being gentle absolutely does not exclude being firm. Being firm at the same time. It does not mean avoiding hard truths, but expressing things, knowing that God is near. That's not easy, but it's a challenge. How do we express gentleness while at the same time being able at times to be firm as Christians? The letter continues in verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." This is perhaps the hardest verse in the passage, because people do suffer from anxiety and depression. They struggle with it. And the real question is, how does this verse apply to us when we struggle? Does it not apply to those who have a medical condition? Or should Christians do this and expect never to suffer from anxiety? Well, clearly given Spurgeon suffered from depression, William Cowper, the poet and Anglican hymn writer, also struggled with depression. Means Christians do suffer in this way. There are not easy answers. Yet at the same time, knowing that God is near, that we can rejoice, means when we're anxious, we need to take things to God. Ask him, remember who he is, and give thanks. Remember, he's already saved us. We're part of his family. We're in relationship with Jesus, in relationship with God, and have the ultimate help. He's welcomed us in as his children. It's not only more than we deserve, but ultimately where we have our identity, our value, and our hope. And we know that God will look after us here because he wants us in his kingdom. It's in this taking our focus off ours and putting it onto our God, trusting him, that we can change, that we can be less worried. And it is worry, anxiety that can help cause depression. It's worry that makes us more and more anxious. And Paul is saying to bring these worries to God. Not because we're good enough in ourselves. We're not. You're not. And I'm not. That's why Jesus died for us. He's saying to bring it to God because we can trust him to look after us because he is great enough. He's saying that because through Jesus dying, we have peace with God, so God will protect us. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's this peace that we're looking for, a peace that's beyond understanding. As much as we pray for peace on earth, when we see wars such as in Ukraine and Palestine, these happen because of our sin, our rejection, our rebellion against God as humanity, and ultimately our individual needs, our restored relationship with God that brings a peace beyond understanding. The last hymn we'll be singing, when peace like a river speaks, that when peace like a river washes over us, we know God's presence. We know that we're his. And its chorus says, "It is well with my soul." It was written by Horatio Stafford when he'd just lost his four daughters. Only his wife had been saved when a boat sunk in the ocean. It was not an easy time, but he was holding to his relationship with God and trusting God to give him peace amidst the horrendous circumstances, the mourning, the pain that he was facing. When we suffer anxiety, suffer depression, we can seek to hold to our God, to know peace with him. And that will help us with our attitudes, how we express ourselves to those around us. And at the same time, we should try and focus on the good, all the good that God gives us, and the good in others. Verse 8 reads, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Focusing on the wrong things does not help. Remembering the good, the right, the admirable does. Our focus makes a difference in our lives, in our attitudes, in our relationships. And therefore, Paul says, to put in practice what he's taught, that they're to gain Christ crucified, to focus on all Christ has to offer. In doing that, they will experience the peace of God. Verse 9, it says, "And the God of peace will be with you." God wants peace with us. That's why he sends Jesus when we were at war with him, dead before him as we'd gone our own way, rejecting, ignoring, forgetting about him. So that Jesus, as our King, could represent us before God, taking the punishment, so that we might live with him in his kingdom. kingdom, that we might share in Jesus' righteousness, our King's righteousness, and therefore have restored relationship, have peace with God, and so be able to trust God in the here and now, because of the certain hope he brings us in Jesus. It's not a relationship of just trusting in a set of facts, but one that brings peace because we really know our God. We know him in our lives, and that he will see us through the storms of life. Let's pray. Father, we ask that we'd know your peace, that we'd know your presence, that you are near, and that because of that we'd rejoice. That you would shape our attitudes, see us through the difficult times, as well as be our focus in the good times, so that we might live more and more for you. Jesus' name, amen.